But you hope they would focus on the true meaning of Christmas, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse 8, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. I want you to see that. They weren't just abiding, that's where they lived. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you and we magnify your name. And Lord, as the children did such a wonderful job in saying Gloria, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill to men. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that we can celebrate you, not only on this time, on this day, in this time of year, but Lord, all throughout the year, Lord, because that's what we are to do, to bless your holy name and give you glory and honor and praise. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be open, responsive, and receptive to you. Lord, that you'd just anoint your servant to speak what you've laid upon our heart. But God, that we will be open and again responsive to you, to allow you to do the work that you desire to do in and through our hearts today. And we give you the glory and we give you the honor and we give you the praise. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to talk to us this morning about great joy. Can you say that with me? Great joy. As we celebrate this wonderful season, may you and I realize that the announcement made over 2,000 years ago to lowly shepherds living in the fields, watching over their flocks at night, it still has the ability to greatly transform lives today. Just like it transformed their lives that night, he is still transforming lives today. Can you say amen? Amen. The announcement made about the coming of Christ is still relevant today. For if that had not happened, think about it. If that had not happened, we wouldn't be in this house today. If that had not occurred, we would have no reason to have joy or hope or peace. I would hate to even think about where we would be. Can you say amen? But it did happen. Can you say amen? But before this announcement on that hillside that night, there had been basically no prophetic voice for over 400 years until Gabriel showed up and spoke to Zacharias, as we talked about last week. For 400 years, they had ritual. They had religion. They were observing the law. But a very, very faithful few truly had a relationship with God. But on that night, the angels showed up before the shepherds, the lowly shepherds. And they said, "We come to give you good tidings of great joy." Can you say amen? That word good tidings means good news, the gospel. We come to give you good news of great joy. Now, what is great joy? Well, I looked in the original language on what the word great means. It's big. They said, "We've come to give you big joy. The greatest joy, the exceedingly abundant joy, the exceedingly great joy, the large joy." Touch your neighbor and say, "Jesus came to give us big joy." And that word joy means calm delight. Joy and peace and strength in our hearts and our minds and in our lives, no matter what's going on around us. And that joy was not just for a few, but it was for all people. So then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And the thing I'm excited about this morning is we're still part of that all people. Can you say amen? We're still part of that group that the angel spoke about. We're still the ones who can be recipients of that joy if we will just realize it today. Can you say amen? Those good tidings of great joy are found in one person. And one person alone. the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Christ the Lord. That's what the angel said. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Our Savior, our Redeemer, the Holy One, the Holy Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, who the Father gave to save us from our sins. He is the greatest gift this world has ever known and will ever know. He is still available for you and I today, just as he was to them back then. He's still moving. He's still saving. He's still healing. He's still touching. He's still manifesting his presence and his power. Can you say amen? He is still bringing good tidings of great joy. Jesus is alive. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want us to look at this joy this morning. And we're just going to do an acrostic with the word joy. Now, we're going to have several little points to go with each letter. But I want us to understand, Jesus wants you to have joy today. Jesus wants you to have joy. Touch your neighbor and say this. Jesus wants you to have joy today. You say, I don't know if that's possible, Brother Doss. You don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. I'm sorry. But I know one who does. And even in the midst of what you're going through and what you've gone through and what you're dealing with, Jesus wants you to have joy today. Can you say amen? J, let's look at this joy. J, this great joy is pure joy, and it's only found in Jesus Christ. It's kind of a no-brainer that the J, you got to start with Jesus. Can you say amen? The reason for this great joy is that a Savior was born that would be for all people. And he is the only one that can save us. Acts chapter 4:12 says, nor is there any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's only in the name, can you say it with me? Jesus. He is the only name by which we can be saved. Now, some people try to dispute that. Some people say there's many ways to get to heaven. There is only one way, and his name is Jesus. But not only is he the only way to get to heaven, but he is the only way that you can have that deep, abiding, lasting, strengthening, sustaining joy in your life, no matter what's going on around. And that joy can only be found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's for all people. No matter your economic status, no matter your background, no matter who your family is or is not, no matter what your race, creed, or color, he is for all people. It's only through Jesus can we have hope. It's only through Jesus can we have salvation. It's only through Jesus can we experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's only through Jesus that can we experience healing. It's only through Jesus that we can have peace because he is the Prince of Peace. It's only through Jesus that we can have true strength because he is our strength. It's only through Jesus can we have true power to live an overcoming life. It's only through Jesus can we find true comfort. And it's only through Jesus that we can have joy and so much more. And it all starts, begins with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? His name is Jesus. It's an everlasting joy. Isaiah chapter 51 verse 11 says this, so the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah is prophesying, and he's talking about the Jewish nation coming back to Zion, coming back to Jerusalem. But the thing about it, in the Old Testament, when it begins to talk about Zion, Zion in the Old Testament is always a type of the church. He said, they shall return and come back to the church, and not just the building, can you say amen? But he's talking about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will find, when they come back, they will find everlasting joy. Not joy as the world gives, that here is here today and gone tomorrow, that only lasts in a fleeting moment, but the joy that Jesus gives is an everlasting joy. Can you say amen? It's joy. I'm going to have to settle down. I can see that right now. It's an everlasting joy. It's a secure joy. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 22, therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. There are times in this life That we, even if we may have sorrow, and even when we go through difficulties, and our hearts go through hard things, and our minds go through hard things, and we face hard things in our lives from the things we face, we can have the joy of the Lord within. We can have the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ within. Can you say one? Amen. And Jesus said his joy is so strong within that no one can take it from you. No one can. Now that doesn't mean you can't let it go. And I'm afraid there are times we have let it go. We've let it slip. Can you say amen? But Jesus wants you to have joy this morning. Jesus wants you to understand his joy is bigger than your problem. His joy is bigger than your trial. His joy is bigger than your situation. His joy is bigger than your circumstance. His joy is bigger than your heartache. His joy is bigger than your depression. His joy is able to help you overcome, because your joy is not in your circumstance or situation. It is who you are and who he is in you. Can you say amen? Your joy is found in Jesus Christ. It's a secure joy. No man can take it from you. It's what we have and who we are within through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an unprecedented joy. There is nothing like this great joy that Jesus gives, even in the midst of trials. I don't know why I've hit on so hard on that today, because maybe there's a lot of folks going through a lot of things. Even as in the midst of trials, his joy can abound within. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. Corinth was located in the area known as Macedonia. And he was talking about the other churches that were in Macedonia. He said they were going through tremendous trials. They were suffering losses in their finances. They were experiencing poverty. But in the midst of all that, they still had abounding joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Boy, that don't make sense when you throw joy in the midst of all that. When you're talking about affliction and poverty. But yet in the midst, right in the middle between affliction and poverty, you see that the abundance, they had an abundance of joy. They were going through great trials. They were facing deep financial hardship, but yet at the same time, abounding in joy, and they were still involved in the work of the Lord. Can you say amen? Again, I just said it a little earlier. I kind of got ahead of myself, but that's all right. Our joy is not predicated upon our circumstance or situation, if we keep our eyes on Jesus. Our joy is not predicated on our circumstance or situation if we keep our eyes on Jesus. Again, it's based on whose I am and my relationship with and in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing like this joy. It is unprecedented. It's a sustaining joy. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 9 tells us this. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. And he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Notice those two last phrases there. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. They were still waiting on the Lord. Apparently, what they had been waiting for and the answer, the prayers they had been asking, hadn't come to fruition. But said, this is our God. We are waiting upon him, but we know he's going to save us. Then they said, this is our God. We are waiting on him, but in the process, while we're looking for him to move in our situation, we're still going to rejoice. We're still going to give him thanks. We're still going to give him praise while we're waiting in the process. Can you say amen? And something begins to happen when you get your eyes off the circumstance and your eyes off the situation and your eyes on him. He's going to take care of it somehow, some way, somewhere. He's going to bring good things to pass. Can you say amen? While we're waiting, we're going to rejoice in him and rejoice in his salvation. It's a sustaining joy. If we will just be faithful and hold on, touch your neighbor, say, hold fast. He will sustain us. Therefore, we can rejoice, joy in the Lord of our salvation, knowing that no matter what we face or go through, Jesus will bring us through. And no matter what we face and no matter what we go through, he will be there with us through the process. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I am that friend that sticks closest than a brother. He said, you can't go nowhere that I'm not there already. You can't go too high. You can't go too low that I'm already there. He said, I'm going to uphold you with my righteous right hand no matter what storms you're going through. Why? Because he gives us a sustaining joy because of who he is and his presence toward us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 15 verse 11, he says, these things have I spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. That word may remain, that phrase literally means my joy may sustain you, uphold you, give you strength to stand firm, to abide, continue, to help you endure, that your joy may be what? Full. True joy is found in Jesus, in Jesus. Let's look at O. His joy is an overflowing joy. We just read again in John 15. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. Y'all may think I'm crazy. Well, y'all know I'm crazy. Y'all know me long enough. So. Thank you. He loves you too. Amen. Who said that? Let me. These things have I spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. But he didn't just say it one time. In John 16, verse 24, he says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. You mean, Brother Doss, you mean I can ask him for joy? Absolutely, that's what he says. That your joy may be full, overflowing, full, to fill up, to be full, to fill up complete, to fill to the top. Bo, can you come help me? Bo, come, Bo. I love Bo. Bo's my buddy, I think. May not be after this. Now, Bo, you get to be Jesus. Don't get the big head. And Bo, you got the joy. What's that thing say?
Joy.
You got joy. And Jesus, you got joy. And it says that my joy may be full. My joy is empty right now, and I need it to be full. Stop. Is it full?
No.
You mean Jesus, he's not satisfied with us getting half joy? Come on. It's not full. It's not full. There you go. All right, stop. Now, why does Jesus want our joy to be full? Because guess what? When I'm going out in the community, Hey, how you doing? See, I can't help if my joy is full and it's overflowing. I can't help but to get some on somebody else. I can't help but just let it spill over on somebody. How you doing? How you doing? Don't wipe it off. Don't wipe it on your leg. I know, Jared, he left. The thing about it, that our joy is full. Because if you got half joy, you can't share what you ain't got.
That's right.
But if it's overflowing, guess what? Other people take notice. How many people you like seeing hanging around a negative person? But you let somebody be happy with the joy of the Lord. You may not agree with them. You may not think the way they do. But guess what? You're going to want to be around them. They got something. What do they have? It is the joy of the Lord. It's an overflowing joy. Jesus wants your joy to be full, not only so your life will be full, because if your life is full of joy, then there's some other things that are not there. Can you say amen? The negativity, the disappointment, and the heartache, they may still be there, but they're covered up by the joy. Give me another shot there a little bit. Jesus, you're doing good. Amen. You say, well, Brother Doss, you're making a mess. But the thing about it, this is just joy. And it's running all over. Can you say amen? We got enough junk going on. We need some more joy. And the thing about it, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the one that is to spread the joy. And you can't spread something if you ain't got enough. That's why Jesus says that your joy may be what? Full. Thank you, Bo. Will you take that with me? There you go. You want a sip of that? Amen. Thank you, Bo. Bo gonna get the Holy Ghost for long. It's an overflowing joy. You can hit me later, Bo. It's an overcoming joy. Say overcoming. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says this. The first part's what we really want to look at is the second part. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord our God. The children of Israel had come back from out of captivity, and they'd found the law, and they had read the law, and they were weeping. And they were weeping because they realized what they had been missing. And Nehemiah said, no, this is not a day of weeping. This is a day of rejoicing. This is a day of being happy. He said, go home, eat and drink the fat and eat the fat and drink the sweet. And he says, and spend time with one another. He said, because of this, because the joy of the Lord, he said, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That word strength means it's a fortified place. It's a rock. It's a stronghold. It's a defense which causes me to be strong and stand firm and to prevail. Because how can the joy of the Lord be my strength when I'm going through troubled times? How, when everything seems to be going the wrong way around me, how can the joy of the Lord be my strength? How can it be your strength? Because I know Him. I know His power. I know His ability. I know His word. He's given me a promise. I feel His presence and His strength. Through Him, I have the strength to face anything that comes my way. That brings me joy. And should I hit a weak spot in my strength, should my strength come begin to fail, should my strength become to get weak, His word tells me His strength is made perfect in my weakness. So when I fall short, He will never fall short. And that brings me joy. It's an overcoming joy. Can you say amen? I have strength either way. Through Him, I am an overcomer either way. And knowing that through Him, I'm always an overcomer gives me great joy. There's no weapon formed against me that shall prosper. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not in me, but it's in Him, and I'm going to hold on to Him. That no matter what I go through, Blake, no matter what we face, we can have joy. Can you say amen? It's an overwhelming joy. An overwhelming joy. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, you loved, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Whom having not seen, you loved, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. When I think about the Lord, when I think about that in the beginning He was with the Father and He had His part in creation. When I think about how He left His throne in glory, gave all that up to come and to be born of a virgin and to walk this earth. But even though He walked this earth, He taught and ministered, but yet He knew no sin. The Bible says He was a man of sorrows because of what He acquainted with grief. He was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. But when I think about how they took Him and tied Him to a whipping post, and He allowed Himself to receive those lashes across His back, not for Himself, but for mine and your healing today. When I think about how He went beyond that, that should have killed Him, but it didn't. When I think about how He allowed Himself to be nailed to a cross outside of Jerusalem on Calvary's tree, on Calvary's hill, And there for six agonizing hours, he hung between mankind and his Father. And his Father, for the first time in his life, had to turn his face away from him. So much to the point where he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he hung there with my sin and your sin on him. When I begin to think about that, I just can't imagine. When I think about how they took him down, and they placed him in a tomb. But 3 days later, he came out of that tomb, defeating death, hell, and the grave. And that was all for the fact that I could have a relationship with him.
Amen.
If I asked him to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. It's overwhelming. When I think about how lost I was, when I think about how many times I failed him, when I think about his love and his mercy and his grace, when I think about when he saved me, when he forgave me, when I think about all he's done in my life, what I've seen him do in my family's life, what I've seen him do in many, many folks' lives, when situations looked impossible, the God of the impossible showed up and showed out. When I think about that, I'm not worthy of all that, but yet God in his love and his mercy and his grace still pours it out. When I think about all the things he's brought us through and saved us from, and though we couldn't see it then, when we look back, we said, my Lord, you were faithful. I can't help but have a sense of overwhelming joy. It says, that's my Lord and Savior. That's my God. It's an overwhelming joy. Can you say amen? Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
I just can't describe it. It's an overcoming joy. It's an overwhelming joy. It's an overflowing joy. Let's go to Y. The letter Y, not W-Y-H-Y. His great joy is for you. Say you. I want you to think about something. These may not all be up there, Sister Emily, but back in our text, if you're following along. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds were the lowliest of the low in that day. People needed their services. They needed the meat they raised. They needed the milk. They needed their services, but they didn't need them. They were the lower class of society. They weren't invited to all the big parties. They weren't invited to all the big going on in the community. Because somebody had to keep the sheep. Somebody had to keep the flock. And so many times we read this account and they say, oh boy, they must have had a time. But you've got to think, before them angels showed up, this is just another night like they have been through for years. Just another common night. They know that whatever's going on around, they're not going to be a part of, so they're just kind of satisfied, but yet kind of stuck in their predicament. But when God wanted to announce the birth of his son, he sent a star to the wise men, but he said, I'm going to put a concert on for those shepherds. I'm going to put a concert on for those shepherds. Not to the people in the palace. Not to the people in the city. Not to the middle class or the upper class. He said, but I'm going to put a concert on. I'm going to light the sky up for those shepherds. Notice something. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all people. But there was born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Guys, this ain't just for the rich and famous. This ain't for the up and overcoming. This ain't for the ones in the clique. Guys, he is for you. He was sent for you. You're going to be one of the first ones to see. You're going to be the one first one to experience who he is. Can you say amen? Amen. He says, "I'm tired of those guys sitting out there with the mealy grubs whittling and twiddling their thumbs, think they have no value." He says, "I want them to know that they are precious in my sight. I want them to know that I am sending my son for them as well." And he says, "This one is for you." You're talking about user-friendly? God came up with the first user-friendly situation. Can you say amen? Amen. Guys that may have felt low and had low self-esteem that night became the privilege of all time. He said, "Unto you is born in the city of David for all people." See the phrase, and he says, "There shall be great joy." Guys, that great joy is for you. Can I tell you, that's the message today. That great joy is for you. The phrase, "your joy," is mentioned 7 times in Scripture. That phrase, exactly, "your joy." Last time I checked, 7 is God's perfect number. Jesus himself mentions it 3 times. We've read 2 of those times. There's something that goes with 3 in Jesus: Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. 7 is God's number of completion. In other words, I believe the Lord is speaking to us, saying, this joy, true joy, can be found completed in you. But the shepherds heard this. They saw the angels, the multitude of angels, heavenly hosts, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men." Then the angels went away, and they're sitting there, wow. They can even say it backwards, wow. I said, "You know what? They said that, but we ain't seen it. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's get up from here. Let's go check things out." And the Bible says they came, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, just as the angels have said. See, their joy wasn't, listen to me, their joy was not fulfilled till they came and found the king. Till they came in contact with the king. Oh, they'd heard about it. But until they found and came in contact with the king, how do we know it? Because the Bible says they left there rejoicing, giving God glory and honor and praise. We have found the king. Can you say amen? They were walking 10 foot tall. Hello. Because they had found, see, their joy was not made complete until they came in contact with Jesus. True joy can only be found completed in you by, number one, your relationship with him. True joy is not fully realized until you and I come in contact with Jesus. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Excuse me, I read that wrong. John 10:10, I get so excited I can't help myself. John 10:10, "The thief does not come but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly," overflowing, joyfully. True joy is only found when we come in contact with him, in our relationship with him, and as we walk with him. True joy can be found completed in us when we place our full reliance upon him. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Jesus said in John 15, he said, "Without me you can do nothing." But when we fully trust in him and put our reliance on him and rely on him every day, then we can find and hold on to true joy. True joy can be found completed in us as we are resting in him. Acts chapter 2, verse 26, this, therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. Not because of myself, but only through Jesus Christ. No matter how rough the road, no matter how tough the trials, no matter how big the burden, no matter how sad the sorrows, no matter how heavy the heartache, I have a place of rest in Jesus. In fact, Jesus tells me when I'm going through difficulties, when I'm going through hardships, when I am weary and tired and almost ready to throw into the towel, he says, that's when you need to come to me. Can you say amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This morning, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you truly accepted him into your heart and your life? I've said this many times. Whether it be in God's house or somewhere else, at a business, at someone else's house. But any time I've seen some, had the privilege and honor to witness somebody accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I've never seen anybody be upset afterwards. Never have. When they've truly accepted Jesus, there's a weight lifted in there. Ah, you know what that is? That's that joy. With joy you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. Can you say amen? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you truly given your heart and your life to him? You can today. Are you truly in right relationship with him? Or have some other things come in between you and the Lord? It's easy to do. It's easy to do. Don't shut me down. It's easy to do. There are times we become so distracted. There are times we get so caught up in our day-to-day stuff that we begin to let the relationship with Christ that we have begin to slip. But especially, you know what else begins to slip? Our peace, our strength, and our joy. But Jesus wants to restore that joy today. But you've got to lay those things aside. Well, is he going to be mad with me? No. He and his love and his mercy, he wants his joy to be full in your life. Can you say amen? Are you relying on him? Are you resting in him? Is your joy full this morning? Have you asked him for it? If the answer to any of these questions are no, then Jesus wants to meet with you here today. He wants to save you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to restore you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. He wants to fill you up with joy. Just like that glass that was running over, that's how he wants every person in this place to be. Can you say amen? Why? So you can have and know this wonderful Savior who still gives great joy. Do you know him today? There's another reason for us to have great joy. He's coming again. He's coming again. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. Are y'all still with me this morning? I'm trying to hurry, but yet I'm not. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up talking about Jesus, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel who said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus that they saw go up. I believe we are the rapture generation. I believe we're going to see him be able to come back. Can you say amen? And he has given us his word. In fact, he tells us in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. But behold, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And the way you know and the why you know. Can you tell? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Friends, he's given us his word. He's coming back, and I don't believe we're far from that. Friend, this world ain't all there is. He's got a better place prepared for you and I believe he's just about to come back. Can you say amen? Paul said, if in this life only we have, if in this life only we know, and we are all men most pitiable, but there's something far greater than this life. Therefore, I can have joy, not only to get me through here, but to get me all the way to there. And I'm closing. The Holy Spirit really laid this latter part. He desires to minister His joy to another group of people today. Those of in this past year have suffered loss. Those who, for whatever reason, have gone and are going through very hard times, difficult times, and struggles or trials. You may have even been thinking, man, it's been a tough year and I'm just ready to put 2018 behind me. I truly believe He gave me a word for you yesterday afternoon. He does not want you to end this year feeling disheartened, discouraged, depressed, or full of disappointment. He wants to do a trade-in today. Isaiah 61:3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Not saying that you hadn't been through something. I've walked through some of the things with you, and you have. But the word says, tears may endure for a night. Joy is coming. I said, joy is coming. I said, joy is coming. Jesus wants to console you and comfort your hearts and give you joy instead of a heavy heart of mourning and grief. And give you a garment, a covering of praise instead of a cloak, a coat of doubt and discouragement and depression. He wants to bring good tidings of great joy to your life today. It just goes back. He said, Brother Doss, what do I have to do? He says, all you got to do is ask for it. Until now, John 16:24, until now you have asked nothing in my name, and asking you will receive, that your joy may be full. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name